The views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers of Radio Free ARFCOM do not necessarily reflect those of AR15.com, BBS Radio, or their advertisers. When any techniques, skills, or theories are presented, they reflect the practices and opinions of the individual presenting them, but not necessarily those of Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, or BBS Radio. In all circumstances, Radio Free ARFCOM, AR15.com, and BBS Radio expressly disclaim any liability that may result in the use or misuse of any information featured in this program.
Transmission begins.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Here we go.
Let's go.
All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the stink of battle.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
Radio Free ARFCOM starts now.
That's right, everybody. Radio Free ARFCOM starts right now. I am your host, John Gold, behind the microphone. Seth is our engineer behind the scenes, making everything run smooth tonight on May 23rd, 2011. It was a beautiful weekend. It was Armed Forces Day, and we want to give a shout-out to all of our listeners and members of AR15.com who have served, are going to serve, or are currently serving right now. Thank you very much for your service to our country. We appreciate everything that you guys do. And we have a very cool show for you lined up today. We're going to start off with a representative from Vortex Optics. If you don't know who they are, you are really missing out on some top quality rifle optics. They've recently got into the tactical market, and they've got some really cool stuff in their tactical line. And we're going to talk about that with Mark Boardman here in a moment. After that, we're going to have Joe DeBurgles come on. I know we usually open the show with Joe, but we just changed things up a little bit today. Joe DeBurgles will come on and give us a review of the NRA board meetings, talk about a couple of other notes of interest that we need to talk about. And then after that, we're going to do another in our series of Get to Know, where we get to know some of the more well-known and less-known members of AR15.com. So we'll do a get-to-know. It's one Andy Two tonight. We're going to get to know him. I'm sure you guys are familiar with his posts. And then to close things up, when I was at SHOT Show, after everything had shut down and they kicked everybody out if you weren't an exhibitor so you could take your exhibits down, I managed to sneak in past security, and I went and found Drake from Magpul. I actually didn't go actually to interview him, but he pulled me aside and he said, "Hey, you know, let me record something real quick with you, a quick message to the members of AR15.com, specifically for you guys, kind of about what's going on with Magpul." So it's just a little short interview, a short message that he has for everybody at AR15.com. So if you're interested in Magpul, stick around to the end of the show. You're going to definitely want to hear that clip. Anyway. Enough of me talking incessantly. Let's go straight into our interview. We have Mark Boardman from Vortex Optics. Mark, how are you today?
Oh, John, I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on the show. And for everybody listening, we are going to give away, Vortex has been very, very generous enough. We are going to give away a Strike Fire Red Dot sight tonight, a Strike Fire Red Dot optic that you can put on your Safe Queen or your range gun, or whatever you want. This is a really, really cool tactical optic. We're also going to give away a Vortex Solo RT tactical monocular, the one with the MRAD-based ranging reticle. So if you are interested in free stuff, just stay tuned for a minute. Somewhere in this interview, we'll tell you how to get in. If you know anything about our giveaways, it's pretty straightforward how to get entered. So just stand by, listen to the interview. We're going to learn all about Vortex, their entry into the tactical market. And then we'll give you a chance to enter to win one of these great, great pieces of optical equipment. So I apologize for the delay, Mark. Let's dive straight in. Why don't you give us a short history of Vortex Optics, kind of how they got started, and where they how they got to where they're at now.
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, the owner of and president of Vortex Optics has actually more than 20 years of experience in some facet or another in the optics industry, dating back actually all the way to an optics-oriented retail store. And from, you know, from those beginnings, you know, a need was recognized and, you know, I guess, you know, a spot within the industry where he said, you know, this is something that, you know, we're interested in, this is something that we're good at, and this is something that I think, you know, we can, you know, try and, you know, make an effort to do better than the other guy. And so, you know, from that, there is, you know, definitely some, you know, it's basically been a metamorphosis into what you see as Vortex Optics today.
Now, like you said, he started off kind of small and kind of his own little almost mom and pop type store. And now Vortex is huge. I even happen to own some Vortex Optics. I bought some of your when you very first came out with the 12x50. Razor binoculars. I bought those to go deer hunting with. And I'm going to be honest with you. I love those. I love them. I've got a cousin who he's a dentist, so he always, you know, he makes some good money. He always has the, you know, high dollar stuff. And I put him head to head with his Zeiss binoculars one day, and I'll tell you what, if you can see the difference between those with your eyes, you got much better eyes than I have. The quality is just amazing, and the prices you guys come up with, it's just astounding how you guys can do it. I guess that's the secret to the success of your business, is being able to put that quality out there for the price that people can actually afford to get into it.
Definitely. No, I mean, you're absolutely right, John. And that is a phenomenal binocular, and actually not to burst your bubble, but actually this year we basically did a complete redesign on the Razor binoculars, so it's even better now. So you still have a phenomenal binocular, but you know, we might have to upgrade you.
Yeah, I might have to. I mean, I'll have to find someone to give these to as a gift or something and get the new ones. Now, one thing that I've always loved about Vortex, and the reason that I actually bought Vortex, was because of your guys' lifetime guarantee. Can you tell everyone about that? When you hear about this, you almost don't – I don't understand how you can go buy one of these super high-end optics that doesn't have a guarantee like this. Go ahead and tell us about the Vortex guarantee.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty straightforward, you know, and with a lot of things with Vortex, it's the warranty is about the customer, and it basically says we're going to take care of you, you know, before the purchase and after the purchase. The warranty, it's a lifetime warranty. It's a no-fault warranty. You know, there's no warranty paperwork to fill out. You know, if you bought a Vortex optic and, you know, one day down the road you said, hey, you know, I want to upgrade to this, and you sold to your buddy, he will have the exact same warranty that you had. And, you know, it's lifetime. It's no fault. It's unconditional. You know, I mean, if you're a Vortex optics customer, you know, we're going to take care of you.
And it's really as simple as getting on the Vortex website, downloading, you have a warranty repair form or something. You just fill out the form, print it, and send it in with your optics, and you're taken care of, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like I said, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You know, and if you ever had I mean, obviously, we hope you don't have an issue with the optic in the first place. But you know, if you do, which does happen, you know, I mean, you know, it's nice to know that you're taken care of. So, yeah, it's like you said, it's a simple process. You just download the repair form, send it in with your optic. All repair work is done in-house. So, generally, you know, when we receive the optic, a guy's looking at, you know, probably, you know, less than a 10-day turnaround, honestly.
Wow, that's very rapid, a very rapid turnaround. Now, when was the decision made, and how did you guys decide that you wanted to get involved in tactical optics?
You know, that decision was actually made, you know, or I guess, you know, that transition into that arena probably actually, you know, a couple years before I even started with Vortex. A lot of the tactical optics that we introduced last year, which was actually quite a few, were actually in process you know, before I even came on board. So, which the timing actually worked out really well because, as you probably well know, there definitely was a tactical, you know, AR boom here not too long ago, and our optics fit right in there. So it was definitely good timing.
Yeah, absolutely. The 2008-2009 years were stunning, to say the least, when it came to AR sales. And now there's thousands.
I will remember them fondly.
Yes, there were thousands and thousands of ARs out there now sitting in safes that need optics. All these guys have your ARs, you've got your backup iron sights, now you need some quality optics. And let's talk about some of these tactical optics. There's quite a few that you guys offer on the tactical line. Let's start off with the red dots. Why don't you tell us a little about some of the features and about those products?
Yeah, definitely. No, we certainly have a deep lineup of tactical optics. The red dot sights, definitely a lot of bang for the buck with those sights. The strike fire is, kind of more of, I guess, you know, a full-size red dot. It's got a 4 MOA dot. There's two versions available. One has a red, green / dot option. The other one is a red only. And that red only actually came from feedback from Chicago PD, and they said, hey, we like this unit. It's something, you know, we think we're interested in, but, you know, we're going to need a little bit brighter dot. And by going to that red only dot, with the single LED, we were able to get, you know, a brighter daylight bright dot that seems to be really effective, and a lot of guys, you know, really like that. But that said, you know, both versions, they seem to go like hotcakes. It seems like just, you know, everybody loves the strike fire. So, moving into a unit that we introduced last year is the Spark. It's more of a mini red dot, or, you know, kind of micro-sized red dot. It has a 2 MOA dot, so a little bit finer dot. It's a more compact unit. Comes with a multi-height mount system, you know, to attach to your rail. So you'll actually get four different mounting options with the sight. You know, you've got, basically kind of a standard AR height base. You have a low mount if you wanted to mount it on a shotgun or a pistol. And then you actually have a shim if you want to do a lower third co-witness. So it's a versatile sight. It does come, as well as the strike fire, they both come with a 2X magnifier that threads into the rear objective. The strike fire comes with a mounting ring as well. You can get that with an AR height mount or low mount if you were to put it on a shotgun or something of that nature. So a lot of bang for the buck, you know, fully multi-coated, you know, both fully multi-coated optics, parallax free past 50 yards. Waterproof, fogproof, shockproof, and they're both NTOA member tested and recommended as well. So they're bang for the buck. It's tough to beat either of those red dot sights.
And I actually have gone and on YouTube and looked at quite a few different reviews that individuals have done on the Strike Fire and the Spark, and it's been nothing but positive. I mean, it's hard. You really have to go dig to find anyone that has a problem with them. And the only things they are mostly just personal preference type things. Nobody's had a problem with the quality, with the performance, with the durability. I saw one guy do a torture test on one, throwing it on the ground and seeing if it'll keep it zero. And it was just amazing. It really was. And the fact that they come with a mounting system, just like you said, you get a lot of bang for the buck right there.
Definitely, yeah. Like you said, yeah, they're definitely, you know, they're hardy sights. They're reliable, and, you know, they definitely, you know, they work well, you know, and guys appreciate that, you know, the value and the performance they get with those optics.
Now, you also offer, you know, optics for people with maybe want to do something a little bigger. We've got guys that shoot 308s, AR-10s, guys out there with Springfield 308s, and you offer a whole line of scopes for those type of rifles, obviously, as well. Why don't we go down the line? Let's start off with the PST rifle scopes.
The PSTs have been just, you know, a phenomenal series of rifle scopes for us. All of them within the series, you know, I'll break it down. There's a 1-4, there's a 2.5-10, there's a 4-16, and a 6-24. The 4-16 and the 6-24 are available in first as well as second focal plane. So if a guy's wanting his subtensions to basically remain constant, you know, throughout his magnification range, that first focal plane option is available in the 4-16 and 6-24. They all have exposed windage and elevation turret for a guy that wants to, you know, dial elevation. Definitely has that capability. They're all, you can get them in a MOA or a mill-based version. So, which, you know, you'll have, you know, and if you get an MOA version, it'll have an MOA turret and an MOA reticle. If you get the mill version, you'll have a mill turret and a mill reticle. That way all your subtensions, you know, all your measurements, you know, everything's consistent, you know, which is something, you know, people definitely appreciate. It makes the scope more functional.
Yeah, and the prices on these, if you don't know about Vortex Optics, I guess we should say right now, go to vortexoptics.com, and you can see they've got every product that they sell up there. You can check them out. You can check out the different styles. Like on these PSTs, you can see with the MRAD, or you can see the one with the MOA. You can see all the different models. It's just amazing that you guys can get them, the quality you get down to the prices that you guys are offering these at. Anybody who is looking for a good quality optic, please at least check out Vortex before you make any purchases at all. Now, you also have the Viper HS rifle scopes, and kind of tell us the difference between those and the PSTs.
Yeah, the Viper HS is new this year, and actually, you know, to actually touch on one of the differences, the PSTs also have illuminated glass etched reticles with 10 intensity levels on the illumination knob with an off position between each. So that way, if a guy knows what setting he wants to be on illumination-wise, it's just a click away. The Viper HS series is probably, it is more of a shooting, hunting-oriented optic. It shares a lot of similarities with the PSTs. You know, they're both built on 30mm tubes. The HS series, barring the 1-4, does not have illumination. And actually, probably one of the optics of most interest to your guys would probably be that 1-4. It's a 1-4x24. It has capped windage and capped elevation, maintains the illumination, has the same reticle as the PST. So that 1-4 is definitely, it's streamlined. You know, it's just a very streamlined 1-4 that's ideal for AR platform rifles. Within the series also, you do have, you know, you have the 1-4, you have the 2.5-10, and you have the 4-16. There is, all have capped windage and elevation knobs. With the 4-16 is available in a long-range model that has a capped windage but an exposed target-style elevation knob for the guys that want to be able to dial their elevation for long-range shots. And then I guess another main difference between the two series is, you know, where in the PSTs, a guy is going to have a hash mark-based mil or MOA reticle, the Viper HS series have a BDC-style reticle.
Okay. And then your third line of scopes that we really wanted to talk about tonight were the Razor HDs. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those? Those are pretty much your top-of-the-line optics, correct?
Absolutely, yep. The Razor series is our top-tier optic. You know, it kind of goes back to, like I said, we have a pretty deep lineup. Everything from, you know, $159 red dot to $2,000, you know, long-range precision shooting rifle scopes. So within the Razor series, there's a 1-4x24, as well as a 5-20x50. The 1-4, both models are first focal plane. The 1-4x24 is available with a BDC style reticle, as well as a model that's built around a BDC turret. So one is, you know, more geared towards dialing, while the other one is you know, geared more towards rapid holds.
Right. And every one of these optics comes with the lifetime guarantee. Everything you sell comes with the lifetime guarantee, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Basically, from the ground up, you know, like I said, I mean, if you're a Vortex customer, we're going to take care of you. So, you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, you could say it's one of our founding principles. You know, I mean, we kind of touched on all of them, is providing a superior product, you know, that's a great value to our dealers as well as our end users. You know, taking care of the customers, and you know, giving people a product that's, you know, that's going to work and hopefully work better. So,
now, you guys were generous enough. Once again, we're here with Mark Boardman from Vortex Optics. The website is vortexoptics.com. They've been very, very generous to donate a Strike Fire Red Dot sight for a giveaway, and also a Solo RT tactical monocular. And we're going to talk about that monocular here in just a second, because I think this is a really cool thing. But let's get everybody started into the entry for the contest. You guys, pretty much, if you've listened to the show, you know how it works. I am creating a thread right now in the Vortex Industry Forum. So go to industry on AR15.com, click on the Industry tab, scroll down to Vortex, click on Vortex, and you will see a thread there called Vortex RFA Strike Fire Giveaway. In that thread, I want you to post Vortex Optics slogan, which is the force of optics. So you go there, you type in the force of optics, and you are entered in the drawing. Entries will stay open because we do offer the show up for podcast for people that can't catch the live version. We offer the show for podcast. So we'll keep the entries open until around midnight this Friday. Actually, 11:30 to midnight Mountain Time is when I close it down. So you have all week for people that if you catch the show on podcast, and it's Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, you still have a chance. Go to the industry forum on AR15.com. Go to the Vortex, in particular, industry forum. Click on the thread and type in the force of optics, which is Vortex's slogan. We're giving away a strike fire and one of these monoculars. And let me tell you, this monocular is very, very cool. This is like the perfect thing for a bug out bag. When I saw this, the first thing I thought was, wow, that's so perfect for a bug out bag. Tell us a little bit about your monoculars and especially this tactical RT monocular.
Yeah, that tactical RT monocular is a pretty slick unit. You can get it in an 8x36 or a 10x36. It has a mil-based ranging reticle in it, as well as a reticle focus. The reticle, it's one of those things that it can be very useful, as well as just the monocular itself. It's basically geared around allowing a person to have an optic close at hand at all times. It's small, it's compact, and yet it's big enough to provide a quality image. It's kind of one of those things where if you're in a position where you want to get a closer look at something, you can. And along with that, that mil-based ranging reticle is very handy. If you're in a situation where you need to judge distance, perhaps call somebody's shot, it's a very handy optic. Another unique feature on it is it does have a utility clip on it, similar to what you would find on, certain flashlights, a knife clip, that you'd clip into your pockets, similar to that nature. So it allows a person to clip it to the inside of their pocket, to webbing on a vest, to a pack strap. So it just makes it, very easy to carry and easy to keep close at hand.
Yeah, it is a very, very cool piece of equipment. When I first saw it, I was like, wow, that is really, really cool. Like you said, it's something you can always have an optic close by. If you spend a lot of time outdoors or something to just use at the range, keeping your range bag, so you've always got an optic to help spot with. Maybe you're there helping someone zero in or helping someone spot shots. It's just a really, really nice piece of equipment. And everything that Vortex offers is really nice. I am a bit biased because I spent money with you guys a long time before I got involved with AR15.com, and I have been nothing but pleased with my binoculars. And I fully intend when I put my optic on my AR15 for three gun that it will be a Vortex optic. I can promise you that much. I just love what you guys have to offer. And I want to thank you for taking some time out, coming on the show, Mark. I know your schedule is hectic. I know they keep you really busy over there. But just wanted to thank you from everyone here at AR15.com for the time and for the gifts. We really love it.
Nope. Hey, John, all the thanks is on my end. I appreciate you having me. We love you guys. We love the guys on AR-15. It's an incredible platform to communicate with people in the tactical industry and just in that arena. And you just get phenomenal feedback, and it's definitely a good group of guys. So, and gals.
Once again, Mark Boardman from Vortex Optics. Thanks, Mark. We look forward to having you guys again when you're ready to move on and have some new products come out. Please talk to us first so we can get it on and break it here first on Radio Free Arfcom, okay?
Hey, for sure, John. I'll keep you posted. It's always great talking with you.
Thanks, Mark. And that was Mark from Vortex Optics. Please go to vortexoptics.com, you guys. Check out the stuff they have. At least if you're just going to enter the contest, go check out what you're entering to win. It's The optics they have are phenomenal. For the prices they offer and the quality, the lifetime guarantee on them, it's transferable. You know, you sell it on the EE to someone, or you buy it and you give it to someone as a gift. The warranty, the guarantee, lifetime, it just transfers over to from owner to owner to owner forever. It's just an amazing company. I've been nothing but impressed with what they have to offer. So once again, everybody, make sure you go enter the contest, Vortex Industry Forum. Vortex Industry Forum. Go to the thread. You guys know what to do. You guys know how to do it. You've been. This isn't your first rodeo, a lot of you guys. So make sure you enter properly. We had people last week in the Brownells giveaway that didn't enter properly. We had two people that would have won had they entered properly. We made it a little easier to enter this one. So go and take advantage of that, guys. And we're going to move right along in the show. We have the one and only, the effervescent, the loquacious Joe DeBurgolis. How are you, Joe?
Loquacious. Very good. I'm doing well, John. How are you, my friend?
Fantastic. It is always good to hear from you. It's been a few weeks since we've had you on the show. I know you've been very busy. But the one thing that I definitely wanted to start off with was getting a recap of the NRA meetings from your perspective. I know you're very, very involved with the NRA as a board member and with the annual meetings. I know they keep you really busy for that week. Why don't you tell us, give us kind of your rundown, some of the highlights that you had and some of the things that you think maybe the average gun owner would like to know about the NRA meetings this year.
Well, John, we had a very another very successful meeting. We did not break the record that we set last year in Charlotte. We were a few hundred short. Well, overall, we had 72,000-plus NRA members and supporters that came to the great city of Pittsburgh. We converged upon it in such great force that we actually caused major traffic tie-ups and what have you. But the event itself, John, was very well-received. We had record numbers of people. Now, this is the way they're accounting, that were on the vendor's floor. And what I will tell you, I'm happy to tell, to state, is that normally if people came to the NRA annual meeting, let's say 10 years ago, John, it mm-hmm. would be predominantly traditional hunting. There will be some tactical wares out there, but for the most part, it was more of a traditional firearms vending type of thing. You would have your Smith & Wessons and your Remingtons, what have you. But I'm glad to report now that the breakdown is like 60-40, 40 in the tactical wear. We had Daniel Defense and CMNG and a lot of the great folks that we all know from AR15.com that are starting to come to the – starting to recognize that the annual meeting is a great place to meet with the end user. And we've been involved in that process to get people that we know, John, and that our listeners would know, down to the annual meeting. And it's been – everything I've talked to, I talked to Jeff Overstreet from CMNG, great man, great ARFCOMer, and he was just very enthusiastic of the response he received, so much so that he's really taken up a few notches for next year. So we're at 40% tactical, John, and it's great. So cordially invite everybody to come out to St. Louis next year. We get that to 50-50%. All in all, everything we do from our Celebration of American Values to our fundraisers for the Institute for Legislative Action to our seminars, book signings, very well received. Everybody had a great time, and we got to get you out there next time, John, because if you have not been out to the annual meeting, it's difficult to describe, but it really truly is a family atmosphere. You're with 70,000-plus of your best friends, and that's really the feeling that's there. I can tell you, our good friends at Lulu Tactical, it was sitting there, spent some time with Mark Finger and Freddie Blish, and we had a great time sitting there. It was like old home week, seeing a load of people. A lot of ARFCOMers obviously were there. But there's it's a nice down-to-earth, you're not pressured. It's just a great, great feeling. And more of that's being translated out there to the people. So if you come for a couple of days. Because if there's not a seminar, if there's not an event, if there's not a gathering or what have you, you're not looking hard. That doesn't strike your interest. We had a lot of great people, a lot of great bloggers. The great folks from Snowflakes Hell were there. Heather and Sebastian, great, great people. So we had a whole bunch of bloggers in the blogosphere that made time to see them. It's just a great opportunity to have a fraternal element. It's a smaller shot show. That's the best way to place it, without all the confusion and just the overall wowness of it. I mean, it's we had a great time, my friend, and it's a little difficult to comprehend even this couple weeks after the fact because you're on overload.
Now, they do the annual at the annual meetings. They elect or they swear in the new board members. Correct?
They do. The annual meeting each year, those who are successfully reelected or elected to the board, if that's the normal course of meeting agenda, we swear those folks in.
And we can proud to say, I am proud to say, that all of the RFCOM endorsed candidates, once again, were elected to the board this year, sworn in for their first year. Some of them reelected others. And it's important for AR15.com members to know that your vote in the NRA board members counts. When you vote for these ARFCOM-endorsed candidates, you are putting people with a love for black rifles, with a love for tactical rifles and shooting, with a love for three-gun events into these board member positions in the NRA. And it has changed the nature of the NRA and their focus. You can't pick up an NRA magazine anymore without there being some tactical weapons in there, correct?
Oh, most certainly. John, there's not a piece of our marketing inventory that's not concentrate on our beloved black rifle. We've been very successful. But the people, I want everybody to understand out there, the people in headquarters understand it too. And it's just not because of my advocacy or someone else's. It's something they knew and they anticipated. And there's never really been this culture. Now, there may be we may be slow to the draw on a few things at certain times, but we kind of push it across the line. But we're running at full speed now. So everything we're doing, from our three-gun event coming up in August, where NRA will be represented very prominently, to our tactical instruction that we do for our law enforcement officers, through our tactical police competitions, specifically for law enforcement officers, to our expansion into sports shooting, multi-gun shooting, event shooting, three-gun shooting, action pistol this week, and my prayers go out to those in Missouri that transpired last night. But the Bianchi Cup is supposed to be starting this week. So it's something where we're constantly trying to, and I'm trying to move the agenda forward that encompasses all the action sports, our beloved black rifles. I hope to move into the AKs as well and all the rest of the semi-automatics that seem to be of great interest to our government and make sure that we're out there. And I'm telling you, John, if somebody takes the time to look, you'll see the NRA is out there.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. As you know, we had Trey Tuggle on last show talking about the NRA's move into their tactical rifle competition that they are promoting. And I love that program. I think it's going to take off. It's definitely the right way to go, starting it as a grassroots thing. I love the direction the NRA is taking as far as our beloved black rifles are concerned. Now, let's move.
And John, I'm sorry, but Trey Tuggle did a great job with our national defense match. And what he's doing is wheeling it out at Camp Perry. Talked to him extensively about it. He should be congratulated because he really put a lot of hard work and effort into it.
Yeah, I've been impressed with him ever since NRA brought him on. He's done exactly what I wanted someone in his position to do at the NRA, and I can't be more pleased with the job Trey's done. He really has. Now, let's move on a little bit. This month's Action Alert, if you subscribe to the AR15.com newsletter, then you know we do a monthly Action Alert, which is a way for you as a gun owner to be able to stand up and help promote your rights, help make legislators understand that you care about some of the issues and some of the laws and bills that are being put up. And this month, the focus was really on a state-specific issue in Wisconsin. And if you could tell our listeners a little bit about that issue and why it's important for everybody around the country to be aware of this.
I'm sorry, John. I lost that buddy there.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was just talking about the RFCOM action alerts and that this month we were focusing on Wisconsin, and I kind of wanted you to explain the situation in Wisconsin and why it's important for gun owners across the country to be aware of what's going on there.
Most certainly. Wisconsin's been basically battleground for a lot of things. The governor has taken on the unions, has taken on collective bargaining, and now the NRA is involved with making sure that the right to keep and bear arms is prevalent there. We marshaled the forces. We're out there. We're walking their corridors and making sure that they can practice Second Amendment issues and making sure they can have the right to carry. We've got a lot of sources that are dedicated towards that. We need everyone who is listening to get involved, who lives in Wisconsin, to contact our elected officials, take a look at our action alert, and make sure, take the 5 minutes it takes to telephone, email, or best thing to do is visit the district office and demand that your voice be heard. It's something that we need to get forward. We're very, very close. Please read through it. It takes a few minutes, and then take action.
Absolutely. And I encourage everyone once again, if you are not signed up for the AR15.com newsletter, you're missing out, because AR15.com newsletter, we give stuff out here on Radio Free AR15.com, and they give out stuff at the newsletter. On the newsletter side, we give out stuff. And I believe this month we're giving away night vision, PSV-14s, which is, I mean, that's a high-dollar piece of equipment that you can get for free just by signing up for the newsletter and clicking on the right link, and you're already automatically entered. So please, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, subscribe to the newsletter. One last thing, Joe, before I let you go. We are working with Three Gun Nation hand-in-hand this year to bring a lot of the Three Gun news and issues, especially some of the legal issues, to the forefront. There's a video on the AR15.com homepage now where Three Gun's talking about the sporting purposes ATF ruling. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? I was really impressed with that video.
We came together. This is the first of what we hope to be many collaborative efforts between AR15 and the Three Gun Nation folks. We have Chad Adams who comes on and gives us a report, did a fantastic job on that. Pete Brown as well. And we had other people focused and featured on this video. Jansen Jones, who's cold on AR15.com, commentary. But I invite everybody to go to the homepage. And it's something where we've come together to show our advocacy for the right to carry our sporting shotguns. And it's a novel take on what we believe are sporting shotguns, not what the working group in the ATF study, which we have gone over a couple of times here on the show.
Right.
It's a great video. I think it's something that's grabbing. It identifies the issue. It shows our sport, which is three-gun multi.
Looks like we're having a little bit of a connection problem with Joe's cell phone, but please check out the video. It's just under 3 minutes. It's there on the homepage, AR15.com, main page, right top center. You can't miss it. There's a big red star that says new ATF shotgun study. Check out the video. It's very well done. If you're familiar with Three Gun Nation's videos, you know they do top-notch production. And I encourage everyone to check it out. I believe we lost Joe, but that's okay because I'm just ready to wrap up with Joe so we can move on in the show. Thanks a lot for being on the show, Joe. I know you can probably hear me in the background. I appreciate you coming on as always. I know how packed your schedule is. And I want to thank you for all the work you do advocacy-wise for gun owners and especially tactical rifle enthusiasts like us. So let's move on in the show. We're going to go back. Last year we did features of interviews with prominent and not so prominent AR15.com members, and we called it Get to Know. So we are going to bring that back this year. We probably won't do it as often as we did last year, but we're going to do one today. Our featured member today is One Andy Two. You probably know his avatar. It's the ubiquitous little smiley face guy. He's got a ton of posts, so I'm sure you guys know who Andy is. Let's roll the tape, Seth. This is Get to Know One Andy Two. The first two questions are the ARFCOM deciding life deciding questions. They are the questions that are humanity defining on AR15.com. The first one is 9mm or 45, Andy?
Gosh, I would have to say 45 simply because I like the way 45 guns look. I know that's not really
a
criteria that most people would agree with, but as far as killing a person, I think either one's going to do the job. So
a hot piece of lead is going to take care of it regardless. But you like those sexy 45 1911s, huh?
Oh yeah.
They
actually, you know, if I had my perfect gun, I would go for a 1911 with a polymer frame, you know, a single stat exact copy would be my ideal sexy carry gun.
Okay. I like that answer, though. I do. I mean, it doesn't have to be for tactical reasons. It could be for whatever reason you want.
Now, yeah, you know, match your purse or whatever.
Sure. The second question, life defining, humanity changing, on AR15.com. And you're from Texas, so I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but you could surprise me. Beans or no beans?
Well, actually, I live right next to the Texas Chili Mafia, so I have to answer no beans.
The Texas Chili Mafia?
Yeah, the Fenton crew.
Oh, okay.
Texas
okay.
Redneck and the AK kid, those.
Oh, Chili you Mafia have to people. Answer no beans. Your house will get burned down and you'll get ran out of there.
Pretty much.
Oh, I love it. Now, see, the Avilas have all said that it's beans and chili, and I guess that's more of a, if you're not in Texas, it's beans, but if you're in Texas, it's no beans.
Honestly, I can eat it either way. The only thing about chili that, to me, it's not real chili is if it's ground meat instead of cubed. I think that's the bigger question.
You might have just started a brand new revolution in the chili debate. Ground meat or cubed? That you might have just started something with that one, Andy. Now,
well, most Texans are cubed, anyways.
Oh, are they? Now, in Texas, are there people down there that make chili with beans?
I haven't met any, but I'm sure there are. Probably.
Oh, okay.
In all,
you have not met any, so that means there probably aren't that many. So it is legit. It's a legit Texas thing.
Yeah, they're probably all from California.
I love it. All right. We know the answer to this one already, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Glock 1911 or something else?
1911 with, you know, polymer frame.
The polymer frame when you were talking about.
The only thing I haven't seen, I mean, I've seen polymer frame 1911s, but they're usually, you know, with a built-in grip. The frame is all one solid piece. I would like to see a exact, you know, one-to-one copy where you can put your own wood grips on it or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that, you know what, you might be onto something with that as well. That's not a bad idea. So gun manufacturers, if there's anybody listening, there is a wonderful idea for you. A pure replica polymer copy of a 1911. That would be pretty cool, actually. Okay, let's move on. Next question, Andy. What do you do for a living?
Well, I wouldn't call it a living, but I make some money selling milsurp.
Oh, you do? You do milsurp? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I make most of my money doing. I'm trying to turn my hobby into a business.
Sure.
My hobby is doing like CNC woodworking, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Not bad at all. I had a friend that used to do that woodworking business. It's a tough business to get into, get your feet into once you've decided you're going to do it. As far as the milsurp is concerned, what's hot right now?
Right now, the deuce and a half, the 6x6 trucks.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's there's lots of them, so they're going pretty cheap, and they're pretty available right now. So, I don't know.
What does one of those go for in good condition?
I guess, so. Do what?
What does one of those go for in good condition?
You know, retail, I guess, is what you call it.
Yeah,
probably
retail.
Without a winch, maybe 25 to 3 to 3,000 with a winch.
Oh, that's not too bad at all.
No, I mean, for what they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're basically a on-road 5-ton truck.
How hard are they to get licensed? Can you just license them like anything else, or do they have to be a special license for them?
No, actually, most states go by 26,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating and lower to drive with a regular Class C license.
Oh, okay.
And the deuce and a half is 23,000. So anybody with a, in most states, I think there are some states that are a little more strict, but in most states, anybody with a regular Class C driver's license can drive them on the road.
Are those diesel or are they gasoline?
It's what they call a multi-fuel engine. They're diesel, but there's some stuff done to them to make them run a wider variety of fuels. So you technically can run gasoline in them, but you want to run a little motor oil in there with it.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, I mean, they'll run waste. I know some people that run straight waste motor oil in theirs. Some people run vegetable oil, transmission fluid, you know, anything that'll burn.
people always talk about a spit hits the fan vehicle, a bug out vehicle. That sounds like it'd be almost ideal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's basically, it'll burn anything. So I guess if you were, you know, a criminally enterprising fellow, you could just, every time you go underneath one of the, you know, heat exchange, you know, power pole deals with the oil in it for the coolant, just shoot with a 22
right,
and just let it drain into your truck.
We won't go any further with that. We won't go any further with that, Andy.
I already detailed it, so.
I know where you're headed with that. Let's say it's a Friday night, Andy. You're settling in a nice, quiet weekend at home. You want to settle in for a nice evening of ARFCOM. What is your drink of choice?
My drink of choice? Homebrew.
Oh, really? You homebrew as
beer.
Well. You are an interesting guy.
Well, you know, I didn't get into it by myself. I had other ARFCOMers hold my hand and show me how to do it.
So what is your most recent batch?
Oh, gosh. My most recent batch was a Scotch Ale, which is a real heavy, like 9% ABV Scottish Ale. And I've got two beers in fermenter right now. One is a pale ale, and the other is a English stout, a sweet stout.
So how long have you been doing this?
About a year.
And what's the
I've done
best
maybe
brew,
five or six
best,
batches.
Oh, sorry. What's the best batch you put together?
It's probably either the Scotch Ale or the I did one called a Creamy Dark Ale, which is kind of a sweet, really well balanced dark ale. Just enough hot bitterness and just enough, you know, maltiness to be kind of a perfect beer in my opinion. But
okay,
I don't know. Beer is such a subjective deal. You know,
you
get people going on the internet saying, "Oh, you know, McEwen's is crap." You know, whatever, Guinness is crap, but it's not the beer that they dislike, it's that style that they hate, so, you know.
Have you noticed, Andy, that as you go along and you brew more brews that you get better and better, or is it something that you'll get a real good batch and then you'll get a crappy batch the next time and you don't know why?
Probably the second one, because my very first one was probably my favorite one, and I don't know, the last couple it seems like It doesn't act the same way, so you kind of got to diagnose what's going on, what's wrong with it. The last one I did, or the second to last one I started, I didn't think the yeast was doing anything, so I figured, oh, it's dead, you know, it's not doing anything. I screwed up somehow. So, you know, I down to Corpus and got another little vial of yeast and threw it in there. It's all kind of an art more than a science.
More art than science. I was just about to say that. That's what it sounds like. And I've always been interested in brewing on my own. I live here in Utah, so you can imagine it's hard to get any type of decent beer. But
I got a friend there. He says that they actually make a different like strength of beer. Is that true?
They don't. Yeah, they bottle. There's a few states that do this. They bottle 3.2. percent alcohol, and that's the strongest you can get in a store. Now you can go to a liquor store, and they're all owned by the state, and then you can get higher strength beers. But
grocery store.
It's like at the grocery store you can only get regular 3.2 beer. But if you go to the state owned liquor store, which is only open on certain hours and days, then you can get higher strength stuff. But you can't get some of the good stuff. Like you can't get Yuengling or any of the more famous beers that are talked about on ARFCOM, and I hear all these people talk about it. They show them with their dinner picks, and I'm like, oh, I just want to try that one time. I just want to try
it. You know, I had a pretty good beer there in Utah last summer. It was called, I think it's called Polygamous Porter or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Polygamous Porter, yes. It's not bad. It's a local brew from a local microbrewery here. Yeah, Polygamous Porter. It's not bad at all. I've had that. Yeah, it's not a bad beer. There's a few decent microbrews you can get here, but like I said, you have to go to the liquor store to get them usually.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. Now, when you're on ARFCOM, do you have a favorite poster or someone who's you see a thread and you're like, oh, I can't wait till he says something about this thread?
Gosh. Maybe 45M Joe. I like a lot of what 103 says. He's pretty sarcastic.
Yeah, I like 103 too. And 45M Joe, actually, he's one of the next coming up get to knows if
really?
I can get hold of him. I've wanted to get him on.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a pretty good show. You know, I haven't listened to the show yet, but
shame on
into
you.
That one.
Don't say that.
Well, I'll listen to my own voice.
Oh, you'll listen to this one though, huh?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I can't blame you for that. Now, you live in Texas, and when I ask this question to people, they always answer Texas, so I'm really interested to see what you're going to say. If you could live anywhere other than where you live right now, where would that be?
Utah. No.
Oh, really? You would pick Utah?
If money was no object, and I could, you know, just plop a compound down in the middle of the desert, be self-sufficient that way, probably Utah.
Oh, wow.
Maybe Idaho.
And why
is
that?
One of the western deserts. Because they really, I haven't been to Idaho, but I've been to Utah, and it really felt like there was nobody there. The people that were there were just very down to earth. They didn't care if you drove out in the middle of the desert and, you know, went shooting or whatever. It just felt a lot more free than Texas. And Texas is not a bad state. I'm not bashing Texas, but...
No.
Texas prides itself on being free somewhat unjustifiably, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
And having been born and grown up here, I can remember when it was a lot more free. It just, every legislative bit, they keep chipping away. So.
Wow, that's interesting.
I don't know why that is. I think it might have to do with Texas becoming more and more of an urban state, you know, whereas it used to be for the longest time, it was a very rural state, even though it had a large population. So.
Okay. If you can keep your phone microphone close to your mouth, because your level is just a little bit low. Seth, if you're listening, maybe you could turn them up just a little bit.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, that's fine. Anyway, that's very interesting. You are the first vote. We now have an official Utah vote. If anyone could live anywhere other than where they're at now, and he picked Utah, and he's a Texan. I love it.
Once again, I've incurred the wrath of the Texas Mafia, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They're on it now. You're in trouble now. All right, let's talk guns. What is your favorite firearm that you currently own?
Browning Buckmark, in 22.
Oh, really? 22? Okay.
Well, I mean, it's the one I shoot the most, so.
It's
got to be my favorite.
I shoot my .22 all the time now. I can't afford to hardly shoot anything else.
Yep.
If you could have
favorite
any
to
one...
look at is the favorite to look at is the 1919, but I really can't afford to shoot that.
The thing's like 50 cents a round, a dollar a round almost.
Yeah, it's in .308, so it's even worse than .30-06.
Oh, Jiminy. Now, if you could have any one firearm that's legal for you to own, that includes NFA, and you do not currently own, what would that gun be? What's your dream gun?
Is money an object?
Money no object.
Money is no object. Can it be attached to a vehicle?
Oh, wow. Now you're talking belt-fed, mounted. Yeah, sure. Money, as long as it's legal.
Okay.
As long as it's legal
either,
for your own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can register a destructive device, right? Probably be a toss-up between an A-10 or a M1 Abrams.
Oh, wow.
Money's no object. Okay, realistically, probably a Mod Deuce.
A Mod Deuce. I was waiting for someone to answer that, because that would be mine. If I could have any one gun, it would be a Mod Deuce. I love those things. I just one of these days, I'm going to get my butt out to Knob Creek, and I am going to shoot one for real.
Exactly.
When's the last time you went shooting?
Well, that's kind of embarrassing. It's been probably 3 weeks.
3 weeks? That's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. That's a little bit of time, but that's not too bad. We can forgive a few weeks. That means you got to get your butt out this week.
I mean, it's not like I have to drive somewhere to go shoot. At least the .22, I can just walk out the door and shoot it. But
Yeah.
Well, you got to get your butt out this week and pop a few rounds off just for just to call yourself an official ARFCOMer, okay?
Will do.
All right. Now, have you ever met? I know you already have. You've already talked about this. Have you ever met a fellow ARFCOMer in real life? And what was kind of the scenario behind that? Was it a hometown meet or what was it?
I've met probably just about all the regulars in the Texas Hometown Forum, and that covers a wide area.
Yeah, that's a bunch of guys.
Yeah, I drove up to Crowell a couple of years to the Hun Farm, so I met a whole lot of people there for the first time. And I won't swear to this, but I think I met the AK kid and Texas Redneck there for the first time, and I didn't realize they lived like half an hour from me.
Oh, wow.
As far as other guys, in probably East Texas, like 338 Wind Mag, FC Texas, 3FC Texas, out of state, I've met, I think his username is Greg's 1911 in Oklahoma. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank.
No, that's fine. So you have met quite a
Red
few.
Goat.
You've met quite a few ARFCOMers.
Oh yeah, D-Feature, Makarov Miami, Firebug Fab. Yeah, I've met a lot of Texas ARFCOMers. Not many from other states, though.
What's your overall impression of ARFCOMers? Are they all just good old fashioned gun guys, or have you met a few that rub you the wrong way?
Oh yeah. You know, I've only met a couple that really rubbed me the wrong way. And for the most part, you know, most of them have had me, you know, out to their house, like, for shoots and just, you know, didn't even know me, just posted up on the board, hey, we're having a shoot at, you know, my place, or hey, we're having a Christmas party, you know, and not even knowing me, just, you know, let me come over. And in a couple places, you know, being a long drive back, they just said, oh, just crash on the couch, you know. For the most part, most of the ARFCOMers I've met have been very generous with their time, generous with their money, just very inviting, welcoming folks.
Yeah, ARFCOM camaraderie is just, it's the best. It really is. People you've never even met before, they'll give you the shirt off their back. It's just amazing.
Exactly.
It's just amazing. You don't see a lot of internet communities like that. And for the ARFCOM community to be as big as it is, well over a quarter of a million members, For people to be as just generous and tight-knit as they are. Yeah, we fight amongst each other, but don't let anybody from the outside try to come in and fight any of us, because you're going to have a big problem on your hands.
That's very
let's
true.
See. Yeah, so let's see. Your next question is, when you're surfing ARFCOM, what is your favorite non-GD section of the forums? Where do you spend your most time aside from GD?
Gosh. If you're probably to go back through my posts, you'd probably find that like 90% of them are in GD. But aside from GD, probably the do-it-yourself forum. I like to browse that.
And see, that's a forum I don't spend a lot of time in. I need to go spend a little more time in the do-it-yourself.
Oh yeah, probably the Urban Commandos forum too. You know, it's almost like, if I have a problem, a computer problem I can't solve, I just go in there and post up questions. So that's,
yeah, I had a couple of problems when I first started the show, and I went in there, and whoa, the help I got in there was just amazing. Like, these guys just, they're all like, go to this website, go do this, and there you go, and boom. We had the show up and running in no time.
Other forums have pretty much just been like, on the one or two occasions I've had to, you know, build like an AK or something, it was, you know, go into the forum, read up, and I know this is kind of sad, but you almost never go back because you got your information that you don't really have anything to add, so.
Hit it and quit it, huh? I see how you
exactly.
are.
Exactly.
No, that's what ARFCOM's there for. You got a question about something, you go find it out, and then you go back and do what you want to do, and I don't think anybody, I think that's how most ARFCOMers are. I don't think anybody gets offended by it at all. I really don't.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever gotten rid of a firearm and regret it? Either sold one or gave one away as a gift to somebody or anything like that?
No, actually, every firearm I've bought or been given, I've kept, because I don't want to get rid of any of them.
That is such a great answer. I wish I could truly say that myself. Even as embarrassed as I am to have owned a Lorsen 380 in my lifetime, I wish I still had it. I wish I still had it. I wish.
You know what? Actually, I'm lying. I did sell a Saiga 12.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I had two. I bought a new one. I should have kept both of them because they really appreciated in value. So,
how do you like your Saigas? Do you shoot them very often? Do you like them?
I mean, they're fun. They're kind of expensive to shoot, but
they look fun to shoot. I've never shot one, but they look really fun to shoot.
Now, the only problem with them, I mean, the greatest thing about the Saiga 12 is they really came out with a whole lot of great aftermarket accessories, like the 20-round drum. But aside from those things, it's kind of not the best ergonomically balanced, I guess is the way you say it, the gun. The drum, while really kicking ass, it's bulky. It's really hard to load into the gun. The Saiga 12 itself doesn't make that easier because it doesn't have a last round bolt hold open.
Oh, it doesn't.
And
okay.
I think the newer ones come with a bolt hold open, but it's manual. And if you convert it, you got to cut some more on the receiver to reinstall it. So it's kind of I guess I would describe it as unpolished. There's some things that could be done to make it a little better.
Right. And I'm sure they'll fix it as they go along. I'm sure the next versions will improve on that. Now, do you remember, Annie, the first time you ever went shooting?
Yeah, actually.
Go ahead and tell us about the first gun.
I shot. I was 6 years old, and my dad was invited to go quail hunting. So, he didn't give me a gun or anything, but I was an idiot. So I asked him, can I shoot? And he gave me his 12-gauge shotgun, and I think he was bored or something. It literally knocked me on my ass. So that was the first gun I shot, but it didn't really turn me off for very long.
It's pretty interesting that you still like guns after being 6 years old and shooting a 12-gauge for your first shot. I bet most 6-year-olds, if they shot a 12-gauge for their first gun, they'd be like, okay, thanks, I'm done shooting, thanks.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he knew what he was doing, because it really gave me some respect for firearms.
Oh, yeah, there is that. I didn't think about that.
He gave me his grandmother's 410, and I shot that for a while. Then he trained me a little bit on the 22, and mostly shot that until he took me deer hunting. So
I love it. I love it when fathers or grandfathers teach their sons or grandsons. It's just, you get it in the family, and you get it generational like that, and it stays with you for your whole life.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're almost finished here. Tell me a little bit about your avatar. How did you get it, and what exactly is it?
It's a video game thing, actually. And I mostly chose it because it kind of looks like me, so I'm not brave enough to put my own picture on there. Not like Subnet or anybody.
I love Subnet. It's a video game thing. What's it come off of?
Fallout, actually, which
kind
of got popular again in the last few years. They came out with more of them.
Yeah, the new Fallout 3, I guess, is pretty popular. I don't play too many games, but I've heard a lot of people talking about it. Now, your little motto here is, I love children with sweet and sour sauce.
Well, actually, that's not true. I just love pushing people's buttons.
That's the only
reason I put that on there.
That's what I figured. Do you get much flack for it? Does anyone send you an IM and say, what the hell?
Sadly, no. No. I guess I'm not pushing the right buttons with that one.
Or the buttons you're pushing, people are just like, there's no way I'm going to talk to this guy.
No, people are, I think they're just jaded, actually. That's pretty vanilla now for...
It is, I guess, for ARFCOM. That's not too bad, actually, for ARFCOM. You're right. His name is 1Andy2. Andy, thanks a lot for taking some time out of your weekend to sit down and chat with us. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That is one Andy too, ladies and gentlemen, fellow ARFCOMers out there. Very interesting guy. A guy is a true Renaissance man, as it were. Now, before we close out the show, I know we ran a little bit long tonight, but we had a lot of fun with this show. Before we close it out, like I told you guys earlier, I snuck into SHOT Show after they shut everything down and only the vendors were in there. And I was over at the Magpul booth, and Drake came up to me. He said, "Hey, John, you know, I got a message for ARFCOM. I want ARFCOMers to hear what I have to say. You know, we this and that." I'm not even going to expound anymore on it. I'm going to let you guys listen to it. It's Drake with a message directly to you, ARFCOMers. This message is directly for you. Go ahead and run it, Seth.
Hey guys, Drake Clark from Magpul Industries here. Just finishing up SHOT Show 2011. Had a great show. Great turnout here. We handed out, I think, well over 5,000 catalogs this year. Had a great attendance, a lot of excitement in the booth. Of course, the biggest thing that we're promoting this year is the fact that everything that we are manufacturing now is in stock and in production, with the exception of the MS3 sling, which will be available here very soon. Exciting show. Wanted to just let everyone know that have no fear. Although we did not release any new products this year, we will definitely be releasing products throughout the year, and we are getting involved in some very, very exciting stuff that is not very typical for Magpul to be involved with outside of the AR-15 platform. I'm not going to elaborate on details, but I know that a lot of these weapons that we're looking at innovating on and continuing to deliver new products on throughout the year are going to be of interest to the ARFCOM crowd. So appreciate you guys' support. Have faith in us. Please bear with us while we're going through some changes and changing the way that we release products, and it's ultimately going to be better for the end users. We are gun guys at heart. We love not only the AR-15, but all the other weapon systems that are out there, and always looking at ways to innovate on new products and develop new ideas and bring them to you guys. It's just a matter of how we do that and how we bring that product to market in the future is going to change from the way that we've done it in the past. And ultimately, the end users are going to be the ones that benefit from it. We're an innovations company. We strive to make awesome products, and I look forward to bringing some very, very cool stuff to the market in 2011. Thanks a lot.
So there you have it, ARFCOMers. Magpul is going to be releasing new products this year. Drake letting us know, never fear, just because nothing big was released at SHOT Show. And he actually told me some of the innovations and some of the weapon systems that they're working on. And I wish I could tell you guys, but I cannot. I was sworn to secrecy. But there is some really, really cool stuff, as you would expect from Magpul, coming down the pipeline here a little bit later in the year. So just keep your ears to the ground, you guys. I know you guys follow Magpul closely. Keep your ears to the ground with it. I have got to wrap up. We are over a little bit tonight. Just a quick bit of housekeeping for everyone. The next show, and from every show after that, we are moving to Wednesday nights. And the next show will not be, let's see, I believe it's June 8th will be the next show. It's Wednesday night, June 8th. I even think we're going to change the time by an hour or so. I will let everybody know. Stay tuned on the ARFCOM, Radio Free ARFCOM forum. I'll let everybody know what time the new show is going to be, but we're going to have a 1-800 call-in number so you guys don't have to call long distance. And we'll change the time to the middle of the week so we can get a few more people and a little bit better time slot. It's a little bit later. I think it's going to be an hour later, but I'm not sure. I have to go back and check everything, but it will be on Wednesday. So the next show will not be until Wednesday, June 8th. I want to thank Mark Boardman from Vortex for coming on and telling us all about the fantastic products that Vortex has. If you need a real good optic at a good price, first enter the contest. And if you don't win, go to vortexoptics.com. And see what they have to offer. They've got some top-notch tactical stuff out there for you guys. Enter the contest in the Vortex Optics Industry Forum. You guys know the drill. You know how to do it. Just go to the Industry Forum. You'll see how to figure it out. I want to thank Joe DeBurglis, as always, for championing our gun rights. I want to thank Andy, one Andy, too, for being patient with his get-to-know. We finally got it on there, Andy. Thanks a lot. True Renaissance guy, Andy. And, of course, I want to thank Drake for having a special message just for ARFCOMers, just for us. I want to thank, once again, it was Armed Forces Day. Thank our veterans, future, current, and past, for serving our country, putting their lives on the line for us. As usual, thanks Seth behind the scenes, making it all happen nice and smooth back there. Appreciate you, Seth. And we will see you guys June 8th. God bless the great republic that is the United States of America.
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache.